Invite you to take your Bibles and turn along with me as we study yet another portion of God's Word. I want you to consider this morning, what does it take to be successful? In a book called The Successful Communicator, Earl Nightingale told of a time when he was flying to a meeting to deliver a motivational speech to a group of salespeople. It turned out that the man next to him on the plane was going to the same meeting. In fact, he was being honored as the top salesperson of the year. Curious, Mr. Nightingale asked the man, what was the secret of his success? And the man replied, funny thing, I've been in this business for years, and for most of them, it was just a job, and I never accomplished much. Then a strange thing happened. The business got into me, and that is when I became successful. For a Christian to be successful is much like what the salesperson discovered. He too needs to have Christ get into him, and he into side of Christ. We're not talking about a physical entering, like Jesus entering like a parasite or some way of taking control, or we of Christ. But the Bible talks about us becoming a part of who Christ is, and Christ becoming a part of us. When we are Christians, or when we became Christians in Romans chapter 6, it says in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 3, or do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? When we are baptized, we are baptized into Christ. So we become a part of him. We establish a relationship with Christ. In fact, when we call ourselves Christians, a lot of people don't just use that name so casually and don't think about what it means. When we call ourselves Christians, we're saying that we follow Christ. Take a look at Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. Acts 11 verse 26, it says that when he found him, he brought him to Antioch, and it came about that for an entire year that they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. For a long time they were known as disciples. Students, followers of a teacher, but more specifically, they were followers of Christ, and so became a part of him. See, when we're Christians, Christ is our head. In Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 22, and he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Christ is our head. He directs us where we go. We are his body. We are in to Christ. And we join other Christians in a united effort to serve that body, to serve Christ. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and in verse 13, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13, it says, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we are all made to drink of the one Spirit. We join together in serving Christ. That's about us getting into Christ. But it's a two-way street. It works both ways. We have to be in Christ, but we also have to allow Christ to be in us as well. See, we're not only baptized into Christ, we also put on Christ. Christ becomes a part of us. Take a look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ, or put on Christ. It's not just enough to say, hey, I'm a part of Christ's body. Christ also has to be a part of me. When it talks about putting on, it's like putting on a garment, something that other people see. Another way that is mentioned is in Titus chapter 2, starting with verse 9. Titus chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing good faith, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us, that he may redeem us from every lawless deed, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Notice that we, by our behavior, adorn the doctrine of Christ. We show its influence in our lives. And we are an ornament, as it were, displaying Christianity living in us to other people around us. It's not just that we get into Christ. Christ gets into us and changes us. We then conform ourselves to his very image. In Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What do we mean when we're inside Christ? Perhaps we understand when Christ is in us, it changes us. But what does it mean that when we're inside Christ? Well, in one way, when we're in Christ, we have a relationship, because we're all in Christ, a family relationship with one another, and a family relationship with God himself. In Galatians chapter 3, we read verse 27, but now let's go back to verse 26. Galatians 3 and verse 26 is, for all of you are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We're all sons of God. We're all children of God. We're all part of God's family. That's what it means to be in Christ. In Christ, we have all spiritual blessings. In Ephesians chapter 1, and in verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. All the spiritual blessings, the promise of heaven, the things that God has done for us, those are all found in Christ. In Christ we have redemption, forgiveness of our sins. Going back to Romans chapter 3. Romans 3 and verse 24 says, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. In Christ is where we find redemption, because Jesus died for us. Should have had you hold your finger, but go back to Ephesians 1 again. Ephesians chapter 1, let's go down to verse 7 this time. It says, in him, that's Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. That's part of what it means to be in Christ, to be a part of God's family, to be a part of God's blessings, especially the blessing of salvation from our sins. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 1, So there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Once we're in Christ, there is nothing that says that we can are condemned, as long as we remain within Christ. Again, on the same topic, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. Salvation comes to those who are in Christ. Because Christ died for us. And with that is a hope of eternal salvation. I'm talking about a hope of heaven. That means that in Christ, we don't consider death like the rest of the world does. To us in Christ is resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 22, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ at his coming. When we're in Christ, we belong to him. We're a part of him, and a part of his people. But we also have to have Christ in us. And the effect that he has on our lives should show that we belong to him. And that he's in us. In fact, think of what happens when some people seek out Christ. They want to be in Christ, but they don't allow Christ to change them. You thought of what happens when you do go only part way? See, people that want to be in Christ, but they don't allow Christ to be in them, well, they only have an outward form of religion instead of a religion that changes them. Take a look at Romans chapter 12. We mentioned this in class today. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Romans 12, verse 1, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect. We need to be transformed by the fact that we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. We can't be like the rest of the world. When people try to just be in Christ and they don't let Christ in them, they don't grow. In fact, Paul talks about people who are always learning but never accomplishing anything. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, look at verse 7. 2 Timothy 3, verse 7. It says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There are people like that. Well, they're good students in a sense. They're always listening for more, but they never apply it to their lives. And so therefore they never are having Christ change them. Be like the atheists that can quote the Bible. It doesn't do them any good. Not unless they start making it a part of their life. Peter talks about, in 1 Peter, about being newborn babes and needing to grow. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 1, therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by you may grow in respect to salvation, if you tasted the kindness of the Lord. If God gave you salvation, we need to grow in God's Word. We need to have God's Word in us. That means God's Word becomes a part of us. Christ is then in us. Otherwise, we make no progress. Take a look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 13. Brethren, I do not regret myself as having laid hold of it yet. Or do not regard, sorry, myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. God in Christ calls us to become greater than whom we are. It's not enough for a person just to become a Christian. God calls us to become people who are like Christ, to become greater than whom we are. When a person seeks out Christ but doesn't allow Christ to change them, then to them service to Christ is just a chore, not a joy that it's supposed to be. We actually read several passages. I was quite pleased in our Bible study this morning. But there's one also we need to look at. It's Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 13. Malachi chapter 1 verse 13, you say, also say, my, how tiresome it is. And you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring what is taken by robbery and what is lame or sick. So you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? How often people feel like they're being dragged to church, instead of being wanting to be here. Somebody who just wants to be in Christ, but not like Christ in them, disdains being in the services. It becomes a chore. There's other things it would rather do. And one other point, too, is that those type of people can influence the world. Because they themselves haven't changed, they can't change other people either. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world, a city set on the hill, which cannot be hidden. We are supposed to be people who influence those around us. But if we're not changed, how can we help other people change? In that passage that we had for the scripture reading, which is in Colossians chapter 1, let's look at that again. Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 24. And notice what it says about the how we're to not only become Christians, but change as Christians. Colossians 1, starting with verse 24, it says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God, bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has been made manifest to his saints, to whom God willed to be made known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. And for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Our hope of glory is Christ in us. The change that Christ wrought within us. Our being molded to be conformed like the image of Christ. That's why Paul preached. That's why other people preach and teach. That's why we ought to be looking in God's Word. It's not just enough to become a Christian. We need to be transformed into people who are like Christ. And have Christ, not only us in Christ, but Christ in us as well. I'd like to offer an opportunity. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, it's about time that you put on Christ. There's salvation in no other name. There's an opportunity we have as we gathered here today, that if anyone wishes to be baptized into Christ, there's no better time than right now. If there's anyone here who is a child of God, and perhaps you haven't let Christ change you as you ought, or got distracted from the path that you should have walked, and would like to praise his brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the selection.